But we shall see how much is needed to get Allah's rahmah or to qualify to enter paradise. Why hope? Because when you hope for the great reward which Allah is going to give to the believers on the day of judgment, you are going to work very hard. You are not going to waste any of your moments in this life. Because whoever has known about the rahmah of Allah should strive to get it. Whoever has got to know about Jannah should work very hard to get it. So Ar-Raja will lead you to that. After this, let us see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran. Az-Zumar 53. What Az-Zumar? Zumar 53. In this particular ayah, we have read this ayah before. That was about seven months ago. We read about this ayah, but it's okay to repeat it. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. قل يا عبادي الذين أسرفوا على أنفسهم لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. This ayah is actually referring to the believers, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not use the word believers, he uses the word ibad. The word ibad includes the believers and disbelievers together, but I call them believers because one who does not believe in Allah will not think of him. So all those people who have committed injustice to themselves, they have committed the sins, they have committed the things which Allah has prohibited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't lose hope. However much sin you've committed, never lose hope in Allah's rahmah. Allah's rahmah is awaiting for you. La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Why? Because he says, Inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. Allah is forgiving all sins, whatever type it may be. Whatever you've committed, no matter how big it is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be forgiving you for that. We stated so many hadith, so many ayat on at-tawbah, and it took us a very long time indeed to talk about at-tawbah. So it's telling you that you should never lose hope. If you lose hope after committing the sins, you're not going to repent for what you've done, and you're not qualified for paradise. This is one ayah which we did explain in detail. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this is a hadith, if I'm not mistaken, was reported by Jabir bin Abdullah. I guess Jabir. Yeah, sure, it was Jabir. Jabir bin Abdullah. This particular hadith, according to Jabir, even though the statement here does not state it, Rasulullah said it is 3 days before he passed away. And he said to the Sahaba who were around, لا يموتن أحدكم إلا وهو يحسن الظن بالله تعالى. It is reported by Muslim. Nobody should ever die unless it happens to think good about Allah. Thinking good about Allah that you hope for His rahmah. No matter what you have done, no matter what kind of lifestyle you've had, at the time of death, you should always think good about Allah. Think about the reward He's going to give to those who believe in Him. And hope for the same. Hope that Allah is going to give it to you, but be convinced that He's going to give it to you. And surely He will give it to you, as stated in another hadith which we are going to see. That is at the time of death. There are so many hadiths which are reported with the similar meaning. And in another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Yaqulu Allahu azza wa jalla, ana inda zanni abdi bi falyazunnu bima sha." Muttafaqun alayhi. Imam Bukhari and Muslim report this hadith. They say Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "I'm according to the way you think of me." Abba is saying, "You think me to be punishing? Of course, that is what you will find. You think of Abba as being the punishing God at the time of death, then you will only find the punishment. But if you think of him as being Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the one who forgives, you are going to find him forgiving. This particular hadith is very authentic. There's no any kind of doubt about its authenticity because it is reported by the most reliable reporter. This is Bukhari and Muslim. What you think of Allah to be is how you are going to find him. If that is during the time of death, not during the time before you are dead, you are going to die, sorry. If you don't remember, I said there is what you call Husnul Khatima and Su'ul Khatima, the good ending and the bad ending. We said those people who happen to suffer illnesses and then they die after a long illness, they are very lucky indeed. It is an indication that Allah has shown rahmah to them. Why? Because during that time when you are suffering, you know that you are dying, and that is an opportunity for you to ask for forgiveness from Allah with yaqeen that He is going to forgive you, and hope for the great reward He has promised to the believers. Then you die on that belief. You find Him forgiving, and the reward that you expect, you are going to find it. There is no doubt about it. The hadith says that. However, if somebody dies of accident, that's a mahabbah. He is not prepared, and he doesn't have that opportunity, because he dies when he's not aware that he's dying. So he will not have the opportunity to seek Allah's forgiveness and to hope for the rahmah. So that is why I say that one of the good endings is to see somebody dying after an illness which does not give him the opportunity to move around, but he remains on death until he dies. That is the person who is blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And somebody who happens to suffer from a long illness and is unable to move, and he knows maybe he's dying, and still he does not get the opportunity to enter paradise, that person is deprived of the great kind of reward, which is paradise. It is stated in Akhbar, the news concerning Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam. Yaqub alayhi salam, he loved Yusuf, as everybody knows. And Yusuf was Yusuf was the most beloved child to Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam. After he lost Yusuf, he cried, and his eyes became blind. Even though he did love other children, but he loved Yusuf most. When his brothers wanted to take him together with them, he did not allow, but when they convinced him, he accepted to let Yusuf go with them. However, he had the fear. In ayah number 13, Surah Yusuf, ayah 13, he says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم قال إني لا يحزنني أن تذهب به وأخاف أن يأكله الذئب وأنتم عنه غافلون. He says he had the fear that if he did allow Yusuf to go with this his elder brothers, he was going to get lost. He was going to lose him. Why? Because he feared that he might be eaten by the zeeb wolf in that area. So according to what is stated here, when he said this statement, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it happen as he thought that he was going to lose Yusuf. He lost the hope of getting him back. When he went with his brother, what was in his mind is that Yusuf was going to get lost. Then, after some time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Nabi Yaqub, and he did ask him, Atadiri lima farraktu bainaka wa baina Yusuf? Do you know why I separated you from Yusuf? The reason is because you said, I fear that you will be eaten by the wolf. And you did not say, I have trust in Allah, that Allah will take care of him and bring him back to me. Because of that fear which you had without having the hope, I made Yusuf get lost. That is why I say that a believer should never live in fear without hope. So Yaqub alayhi salam, he had a fear, but he did not have hope of getting Yusuf back. And Allah wanted to show him that he should always hope for something good. Then we do have in Surah Fussilat, ayah number 23. Surah Al-Fatih, ayah number 12. Fussilat. And another one is Al-Fatih. Fussilat 13 or 23. This is ayah number 12. In both ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to Fussilat. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وذلكم ظنكم الذي ظننتم بربكم أرداكم. And in the next ayah, which is in Al-Fatih, وظننتم ظن السوء وكنتم قوما بورا. Have you seen the verses? The Fussilat ayah 28 is referring to certain people who did not believe in Allah. They did certain wrong things. What is the translation of that ayah? Fussilat 23. That's not 23.
That is the repentance
of the enemies of Allah. وَذَٰلِكُمْ ظَنُّكُمْ الَّذِي ظَنَنْتُمْ بِرَبِّكُمْ أَرْدَاكُمْ.
There will be for them the eternal home, the deserving repentance for that they used to deny our ayahs, divisions, verses, lessons, signs, revelations, etc.
They used to deny. This is referring to the disbelievers, but this particular part of the ayah, I don't remember, maybe the ayah is after that. It says, because you thought that Allah is just there to punish. He's just there to punish. He did not hope for the great reward, so he did not prepare yourself for the great reward. For this reason, you deserve to be in hellfire. So that is the statement which is going to be made. The same thing in Surah Al-Fatih. Because this is the kind of, bad thoughts you had about God. And for this reason, you find the punishment that you have always thought about. Surah Al-Fatih, ayah number 12. So after this, we go into some ahadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى شَيْئًا إِلَّا جَعَلَ لَهُ مَا يَغْلِبُهُ وَجَعَلَ رَحْمَتَهُ تَغْلِبُ غَضَبَهُ. Allah has created whatever He has created. He has created something which can defeat that which you know. Something very great, and you think there is nothing greater than it. Allah has created something which will defeat it in this life of ours. But it says that Allah, who has created the ghadab, the anger, He has also created something which can defeat it, and that is rahmah. So His rahmah can always defeat His anger. We shall see as a hadith which explain that. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Inna Allah ta'ala kataba ala nafsihi ar-rahma qabla an yakhluqa al-khalqa. Inna rahmati taghlubu ghadabi." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written before he created the living being. He wrote, and according to another hadith, He wrote in a book which is kept at the arsh. And the statement written in that book is, "Inna rahmati, my rahma, my mercy, taglubu ghadabi." It is above and it defeats my anger. That is the statement written in the book. My rahmah, my mercy, defeats my anger. And it is there above Arsh in a book. And it is always true. Allah's rahmah defeats his anger. This will be reported by Bukhari and Muslim. We shall elaborate upon it. In another hadith, Rasulullah said, now I'm going to be quoting hadith most of the time. لو علم الكافر سعة رحمة الله ما آيس من جنته أحد متفق عليه. Reported by Bukhari and Muslim. Rasulullah says, if the kafir, the disbeliever in Allah, go to know the value and the price of the rahmah of Allah, if he go to know about the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he wouldn't have ayasa means that you lose hope. You wouldn't have lost hope in Allah's rahmah. If everybody here knows how big is rahmah of Allah, nobody will lose hope that Allah will forgive him. You know that you have a share in that rahmah for sure, and everybody has got it. And everybody here can be forgiven on the day of judgment, because that rahmah is too great, much greater than we may think. We shall see how great is the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam read the ayah which says, "Inna zalzalat as-sa'a shay'un 'azim," that the shake of the qiyamah, when the qiyamah will shake, that shake will be so great, so greater than all the earthquakes you've heard about or the ones you've seen. It will be much, much greater than all those. When he finished reading this particular ayah talking about the qiyamah, how great it is going to be and how it is going to shake this world, he did ask the Sahaba, "Atadruna ayu yawmun haza?" Do you know which day is this? The day when this earth will be shaken. They said, "Haza yawmun yuqalu li Adam alayhi salam." He said, the day which is referred to in this particular ayah, which means the day of qiyamah, is the day when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to Adam, Adam, the first human being to be created and the grandfather of all human beings, it will be stated to him, "Kum fab'ath bi'ithun nari min zurriyatik." Allah would say to him that, get up and take the people who are supposed to enter hellfire from your zurriya, from your offspring. Pick them up and take them to hellfire. Then Adam alayhi salam will ask, "Fayakulu kam?" He will ask, how many are they, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, "Min kulli alfin tis'u mi'a wa tis'atun wa tis'ina ila nar wa wahidun ila jannah." Every 1,000 people, you are supposed to take 999 to hellfire and only one to paradise. Take from every 1,000, which means people will be lined up. Each line there is 1,000 people, and from every line is supposed to pick up only one to go to paradise, and 999 will have to end up in hellfire. Imagine, where would you be? Supposing you stand in the same line with Abu Bakr, the other one, would you be the one to be picked up? Let me say no. For you stand with any of the prophets, there's no way that you can be picked up. You stand with any of the Sahaba or even Tabi'in, there's no way you can be picked up. You can compare your amal with the amal they did, or you compare your amal with other people you see. If you are suppose, let's say, in case they put you in the same line with him, only one has to go to paradise, 999 will have to end in hellfire.
Kala fa ablasa al qawm wa ja'a yabquna wa ta'attalu yawmahum anil ishtigal wal amal. When people heard about this, they started crying. They knew what it means. 999 is not a small number, and only one to go to paradise. They knew what it meant. Everybody cried, but nobody went to work that day. The following day, everybody stayed in his house crying, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he got out, he did not see the people. Why? How can you work? How will you be able to go and work and enjoy when actually 99 are going to be in hellfire? When Rasulullah saw the situation, what did he do? فَخَرَجَ عَلَيْهِمْ, he called them. وَقَالَ مَا بَالُكُمْ أو مَا لَكُمْ لَا تَعْمَلُونَ. What happened? How come you're not working? They said, وَمَنْ يَشْتَغِلُ بِأَمَلْ حَدَّثْتَنَا بِهَذَا. Who will ever be able to work after we heard what we heard from you? فقال, and Rasulullah said, كَمْ أَنْتُمْ فِي الْأُمَمْ. How many are you in the nation? Umam. You count all the nations, how many are you? And then, تأويل وتساريب وساريب ومنسك ويجوج ومأجوج أمم لا يخصيها إلا الله إنما أنتم في سائل الأمم كالشعرة البيضاء في جلد الثور الأسود والرقمة في زراء الدابة أخرجه الترمذي. He said, you, the Ummah of Muhammad, you are just like compared to the Umam, including the Yajuj and Majuj. Everybody has heard about the Yajuj and Majuj. Their number will be so great. So great, greater than the human beings we see today. They will be very, very great. Because nobody will ever be able to defeat them, the Yajuj and Majuj. If you bring all the Yajuj and Majuj, and you bring other nations which disobeyed Allah, and people who never believed in Him, they never believed in Him, they did not have the kalma to shahada in their hearts. They never thought that there's God. You bring all those people together and you compare with the believers, Rasulullah says, it is just like having a white hair, if I'm to use this thing, of a sawl. Sawl means the male cow who has got the white hair. If you count those hair in the male cow, meaning only in certain parts you can see them, very very small parts you see the white hair. So the biggest part of the cow is not white according to the hadith. So he said, you, my ummah, are like those white hair in the cow. Then you are just very few, extremely few, if compared to the rest, which means almost everyone in the ummah of Rasulullah is entitled to enter paradise, inshallah.